On the show today, we have Mr. Jim Bouchard, the Sensei Leader, providing us with 8 strategies for effective leaders. So check it out. On the show today, we have Mr. Jim Bouchard, one of our favorite recurring guests on the program, talking a little leadership for credit unions. How are you doing, Jim?
I'm doing terrific. And you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Thanks
there
for asking.
Hey, you may as well be doing great.
What's that?
May as well be doing great.
That's the only way to go, I think. So might as well go with it. let's be great, by golly. Hey, we're talking, I mean, you're all about leadership and you're writing books and you're going on speaking engagements and doing interviews. You're a busy, busy guy. And as we both know, we're involved in the credit union industry, obviously, but there's a lot of turnover in the leadership position within credit unions. And you're all about this and you're working with a number of credit unions right now. Can you give us kind of like, just to get things going here, what's your take on, you know, what's leadership? What do you have to do to lead a credit union these days? Because it's an ever evolving moving target, as they say.
Yeah, you know what? We'll start with the fundamentals in case people haven't heard us talk about this before.
Yep.
But first of all, you know, I focus on purely the human side of leadership, the human aspects of leadership. And I believe that those are, a lot of people are paying more attention to it now, especially since a lot of the journals and the academics are starting to come around to the importance of this. You know, you can't run a process or a system without paying attention to your mindset, to your attitude, right? You don't lead process, you lead people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we've got to continually circle back to that human side of it. And the working definition that we use is that leadership is your ability to attract willing followers.
Okay.
And your will to serve them. And emphasis on the word willing and emphasis on the word will, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
People point out that word service. Yes, definitely. I mean, that's what a leader is. A leader is a servant.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a servant leadership.
Yeah,
it's become a trademark. But that's, to me, that's just fundamental. That is what a leader does. A leader serves. A dictator, right, imposes will. So that's a little bit different. The CU world right now, facing challenge, it's not a unique challenge, actually. But what's cool about it, the strength of the CU community is really what's caused this gap in new leadership. Because people stay around and they are committed to service, right?
Yeah.
And what happens, and it happens in other industries too, is that you find a middle ground where, there's young people or people that are ready to move up to the next level, and there may not be any place for them to go, right? Because the established leaders are sticking around for a long time.
Right.
And if they can't find a place to go in your organization, they're going to go outside. So that's what's really caused the gap. So it's not because of anything that anybody's doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the circumstance of it.
Right.
But this, same problem, whether you're driving them away or whether it's this natural condition, we've got to find new leaders that are willing to step up and ready to step up when the opportunity comes. And I think that's what most of the CU people are telling me, is that when that opportunity comes, now all of a sudden they've got to go to younger or inexperienced people, and they've got to come up to speed very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So our 8 strategies for aspiring leaders track is really paying attention to that. We're going to be doing that with Cornerstone again down in Texas.
Oh, cool.
Next week, yeah.
Awesome.
And there's a bunch of others I'd have to ask Alex to. But that's a popular track right now. We're going to be hitting a lot of places all over the country over the next few months in the CU world dealing with this. And one of the cool things about it, too, and I don't want to ramble on with you.
No.
But I believe that these strategies that we talk about, we talk about a lot of the philosophy behind being a good leader, but we use these strategies as a foundation, as a basis, and say, which strategies do you want to dig into? Which ones do you need more work with? Which ones are you doing well, right? And how are you doing that? And you share that as well. That's how we workshop these things. But the one that really turns in the CU world is lead by sharing, not by accumulating. And I think that's why these strategies work so well in the CU world. I mean, you guys are committed to that, right? That idea of service to the community, service to the people in your organization. And you can only do that by sharing power, by sharing your ability or capacity to act or perform effectively, which is our definition of power. The missing link right now, and it's only because of time and because people are busy, is the mentoring part, which is another one of our strategies, right?
Yeah, that comes up all the time.
Yeah. So that's it. We've got to take the time to mentor the next group of people that come up. And you want to do that well in advance of need, right? That way you're developing this stable. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, sometimes people worry too much about folks leaving if you train them well. So what? I mean, while they're there, they're going to be your top performers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have no place for them to go, and again, this is something that I think is a strength of the CU community. How many times do people go from one credit union to another or one association to another, but they're part of the same network
and
they work
often.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, it's not a problem if somebody finds a better opportunity somewhere else for the time being.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then I've been meeting a lot of them, circle back and end up at the same place again. Right? So,
well, yeah. I mean, I find that, I mean, I don't mean to interrupt you here, but I find that as beneficial to the industry, because I've talked to a number of CEOs and the really, really sharp, smart ones, and there's a bunch of them out there, are all about what you just said, training up, you know, the people that are going to be leaders tomorrow. And, you know, if they leave, you know, don't have a fear of that, you know, because they're going to go to another credit union and they're going to make that credit union stronger, which makes the industry stronger. And then somebody else will move up in their position and you can train that person. And perhaps when it's time for the CEO to leave, then that person will come up. I mean, there's always opportunity. There's so much opportunity out there. Even if, you know, the CEO stays for an extended period of time, there'll be another position at another credit union. So there's opportunity out there. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
Yeah, this track really focuses, the aspiring leaders track focuses on how to prepare people for those opportunities, right? And we can touch on a couple of those. The first one being, you know, well, the first two really work hand in hand. Work first on being a good follower, right? Because those roles are interchangeable. The greatest leaders are also very, very good followers. They understand when that role needs to shift, right? Mm-hmm. They have to kind of pass the torch to someone else. I always think about those old World War II movies where there's a young green lieutenant that comes out into combat, right? He doesn't know what he's doing. So the old grizzled sergeant has to save him. Of course, they immediately want to promote him. He doesn't want anything to do with that afterwards. But, you know, the lieutenant has the authority but not the experience to lead the troops in battle, right? But also, if the lieutenant's smart, he knows when to turn over the reins to the sergeant, right? Say that he's the guy that needs to lead us through that.
Yeah.
And that doesn't diminish the lieutenant's authority. And that's what we have to understand. And it works right on the front lines. No matter where we are, if we're just starting out, we've got to be very careful because you may want to show yourself, right? And show your skills and your talents and whatnot. That's all cool. But first be a good follower. Make sure that you're fitting into the, into the plan. And along with that is finding the right master. So that goes back to the mentoring we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very important. I was doing a workshop with a group where it wasn't a CU group, by the way, but you know it could have been, where someone asked, they said, I want to be a mentor. I want to get the word out. I've been putting out the emails. And I said, well, how else could you really put that message forward? And somebody, thankfully, she yelled out. She said, why don't you just walk into the office and tell people you're ready to be a And I went over and gave her a high five. I said, no, exactly right. I mean, we forget that human connection sometimes. Don't just send the emails. Look actively. Walk around. Right, leadership by walking around. And find people that you think would make good candidates and then offer your services as a mentor. On the other side, when you're trying to move up the ladder, go and seek somebody out. Right? How many times? And people love to mentor if they're asked. Most people. And if they don't, frankly, I think you're working for the wrong person. You know?
I agree.
Now, they may be busy, but they may be also to direct you to somebody, be able to direct you to somebody else who can mentor them at that time. So that... Yeah, we've got to actively go out and look for the right master. Yeah. They're out there. They're out there.
Most definitely. Yeah. And especially in the credit union industry where, gosh, I would say 99.9% of the people out there are so willing to share because that's what our industry is all about.
Exactly.
Sharing.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
We wouldn't be where we are without sharing. Yeah. So it's a pretty unique place. And I'm so glad. I mean, again, I'm so glad you brought up the mentorship thing because I just did a series of interviews on the Global Leadership Women's Network and where I interviewed a number of credit union women, credit union CEOs, and they're telling me about, you know, how they started, how they got to where they are, what attributes, all this type of stuff. And just about every one of them said, get a mentor, get somebody to help you. Even at their position as a CEO, they still have, I don't want to say mentors, but they have a group of people that they meet with, whether it's women or men. And it goes along with just what you were saying, that you know, they still work with people who have more experience than they do to kind of, not to say teach them, but to kind of like give them pointers and advice and stuff like that. I just think that's so important to kind of collaborate like that.
No, that's the true definition of the master, right? The beginner's mind. I know we talked about that the first time we did this program. I talked about my black belt. And if people go on my website, thatblackbeltguy.com, they'll see it. And it's old and frayed now, right? When I first earned it, it was just beautiful, deep, dark black color. My master said, you know, over time, if you stay in the martial arts, it's going to wear out. And what happens is, and this is on purpose, the black covering frays off and it reveals a belt underneath, which is white.
Oh, and really?
It reminds us of beginner's mind, right?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and that's the mind of the master. Sometimes people are surprised when they hear me say it, because I always give that advice, you know, find a good mentor. And I'll talk to them about my mentors, and they think I'm talking about in the past, and I'm not. You know, I'm always seeking out. There's some people that I've trusted over years, mm-hmm. I still access, and there are always new people that I seek out because of different adventures that I'm on or different different tracks that I'm on. So yeah, find somebody. That's an ongoing process. If we have beginner's mind, we're always seeking and we're always curious.
Yep, curious.
Right? You can't be a master by patting yourself on the back.
No, you're going to come tumbling down pretty quick if you're doing that.
Well, yeah, or you get stale, right? You get stagnant. And that does happen to a lot of people.
Yeah,
but
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up curiosity too, because I think I just read something today. I get a number of leadership type things and stuff, and curiosity is another one of those things. And especially in the financial services industry, which is changing by like the second, basically,
right?
Especially in the technology sector. I mean, you have to have that curiosity gene, you know, to like, wow, let's check that out and see if it would work type of thing. So,
right. And you have to apply that to the human element too. I mean, that's the whole point. I think people will tend to do that more on the technical side. And especially, like you said, as technology changes, it's new, it's exciting. Our relationships, or the dynamic of our relationships, really doesn't change a whole lot. You know, I know we hear the Generation X, Generation Y, Millennials, all this stuff, and we'll touch on that in just a second, but you know, the basic human needs and the interaction we have really don't change very much. All the research shows that, especially in the leadership capacity. People we serve want to have contact with us. They want to know that we care about them, right? Compassion, trustworthiness. These are the elements that appear over and over again across generations. Now, you do have to be sensitive to, I think, language and some social dynamics between the generations. But mostly, you know, we want the same things. Mm-hmm. So it's important the leader, you know, maintains that human contact and goes down and gets curious about the people that he or she serves, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. No matter how busy you are, I mean, that's got to be a priority. Go down and, you know, people always ask me, how do you motivate somebody? I say, I don't know. Did you ask him? Right? Yeah, I mean, really. Yeah. I don't know what motivates people. I mean, if we did that, we'd be millionaires, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
No, I have to ask you, what motivates you? Why are you doing what you do? Mm-hmm. Why are you passionate about it, if you are? And then you get into specifics. You know, some people might say, well, I'm really motivated by money. Cool, that's fine. You know what motivates that person.
Right.
The other person says, well, I really just want to make a better life for my kids. See, that's a little different than just motivated by money.
Yep.
And in the CU world, like I say, I hear so much that people want to make a difference in their community. Right, they want to help people realize their dreams. Whenever I ask CU people, I say, "What do you do?" I don't want to hear, you know, and I very seldom do. I hear, "Well, you know, we help people do with checking accounts and car loans." No, you don't. You help people's dreams come true.
Right, you help better their lives. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Indeed. Very cool. So now, where are you going to be at the Cornerstone League conference next week or next couple of weeks? Or
Dallas, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, next week. And then, oh gosh, where from there? Heartland, I believe that's Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'm going to get myself in trouble.
That's okay.
There's Pennsylvania.
We'll check it out for you.
Pennsylvania conference coming up. Virginia, I believe. These are all the credit union ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Wow. Busy guy. So, kind of in closing, I mean, what can we take away from all this? I mean, you mentioned the 8 strategies, and you're going to be providing these to credit unions and credit union leagues across the land. And I think it's so the timing couldn't have been better. So, I mean,
well, you know what we'll do too? I'll give you a link for your viewers to an online edition of the 8 strategies for aspiring leaders book.
And
they can look at that online. You know, I'll share two. And again, these two work together. First of all, focus on experience over rewards. If you're trying to move up, right, you're looking for opportunities. Too many people these days want to look, you know, they want the reward before the work is done yet, before there's a proof of performance, right? Focus on the experience, because it's the experience that's adding the value that's going to lead to those rewards and those opportunities.
Right.
And, you know, along with that, learning to deal with uncertainty. You know, there's a problem in society today where people want everything in perfect order. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I do A, I expect B. Well, the world doesn't operate that way, does it? And that's one of the big leadership issues we're learning. And you only do that by taking a chance. You got to expose yourself to experiences, whether it's in work or outside, where there's a bit of risk involved, right?
Yeah.
And you learn to deal with that and overcome that. But, you know, in martial arts, we say, you want to make the dragon laugh, tell him your plans for tomorrow, right? That's what we have to do. We have to learn to deal with that uncertainty. How we respond to that uncertainty is one of the biggest markers that people are looking for in recruiting leaders.
That's a huge character builder, big time, learning to deal with those uncertainties. You know, they're going to come your way. It's how you deal with them that counts. So
exactly.
If there's death, taxes, and uncertainty.
I know Socrates said it, but we like to share the Asian wisdom as well. I think it was Lao Tzu that said, the only constant in life is change.
Yes, right? It is. Indeed.
Yeah.
Got it. I mean, every second. Every second. Sure. All right. Well, cool, Jim. Thank you so much. I always enjoy talking to you. And we could have gone on for another hour, I'm sure. But we'll put all the stuff in the show notes and where you're going to be and all that good stuff. And people can come out and see you.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Always thanks for your hospitality.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll talk again soon. Anytime, Jim. Thanks again.